This would be our brother Hank Davis Jr. Our opening prayer would be led by our brother Wiley Edwards. And our speaker this morning be our brother Gilbert Baldwin. His sermon is titled, Getting to Know Jesus. Getting to Know Jesus. Scripture will be taken from the New Testament book of Mark chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5 there. And our scripture reader this morning be Brother Gary Turnbull. Presiding at the Lord's table is Brother Wiley Edwards and myself. And in closing this morning, our brother Charles Hopkins Jr. will lead us in our closing prayer. What's our first song? 84. 84, hymn number 84. That would be our first hymn this morning. 84. And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life and another opportunity that on the first day of the week, Father, we can come out and assemble together as brothers and sisters in Christ, Father, and worship thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we pray that if there be in attendance anyone that needs to respond to thy gospel, thy invitation, Father, that you might bless them with the courage to make their needs known, Father, and that all of our acts of worship unto thee would be well-pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Morning, church. Hymn number 84. We will sing the first, second, and last verse of the hymn. 84.
And let us sing.
Dread not the things that are ahead, the burden straight for sinking sand, the form that over our past are spread. God holds the future in his hand. God holds the future in his hand. And every heart he understands. On him depends, he is your friend. He holds the future in his hand. We know not what tomorrow hides, nor a sun, a storm, or a foot, or ill. We only know his dear hand guides, and he will be our Father still. God holds the future in his hand, and on him depends, he is your friend. He holds the future in his hand. Live close to him and trust his love. For sure, never on earth he roams. Whatever may come, he bends above to guide his children safely home. Cause God holds the future in his hand, and every heart he understands. Hold him in his hand, he's your friend.
Opening prayer this morning, if you would please turn to hymn book, hymn number 635. 635. We'll sing all four verses of this hymn. 635.
Tempted as thou art, all faces wonder. Why it should be thus all the day long, while they are hungry, living about us. Never more than said, going wrong. But Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. So cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine and we'll understand day by and by. And when death has come and taken our loved ones, it is our home so lonely and drear. Then do we want why does a prosper living so wicked year after year? But Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. So cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand day of our life. Faithful till death, say our loving master, of you will to labor and wait. The cold of the road will soon be that nothing when we sweep through the beautiful gate. And Father alone will know all about it. Father alone understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. And when we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, and then we shall be living at right hand, John, and we'll understand it all by and by. And Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. So cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brothers, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by.
Let us bow. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and so humble, Lord, this morning for another day that we have before us and a time that we have that we can reflect back on our life. And at this time, Father, we have the opportunity to fix whatever issues and problems that we might be going through. We know, Father, that there is a lot of turmoil that's going on in this world, that we pray, Father, that we know one day, Lord, that you will be coming back and that every knee is going to bow and every mouth is going to confess you as our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, that on this day that, Father, alone, we'll know about it and we'll understand, Lord, that in spite of the issues in this world, that you are in charge. We know, Father, that you do things your own way and in your own time. And we pray, Father, that one day this nation will be healed. One day, Father, that we can all love one another, irregardless of race, sex, or creed. Because, Father, we know that there is only one race, the human race. We know, Lord, that you love each and every one of us equally. For this, Father, we are so grateful and so thankful. We pray, Father, that on this day, we know, Lord and our Savior, we know all about him. We know that he loved us so much that he gave his life for each and every one of us, giving us this day, Father, this invitation to salvation for all others who are out there in the world that don't know Jesus. That they have this day to know him. And we pray, Father, that maybe someone will say something, that they might hear something, that will convince them that Christ Jesus is the Messiah, and he is the Lord and the Savior. And that they too, Father, will maybe adhere to what their ears have heard. They too will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and be baptized for the remission of their sins, and that their name will be added to the book of life. We pray, Father, that on this day we have this opportunity this morning to greet each other with a handshake, a smile, and how you doing, and hope everything is going okay. We thank you, Lord, for the message that Brother Gilbert has prepared. And we thank you, Lord, that we have ears to hear it and obey it. And Lord, we know that this morning that there was many, many souls on our prayer list that are in need of your tender mercy. And Lord, we grateful and thankful that you are our all-knowing Father, that you know each and every one of their hearts and their desires. And we just pray, Father, that at this time that you will just reach out and touch them in a very, very special way, and just let them know, Lord, that you are there for them, and that everything is going to be all right, that all things do work together for the good. Those that love you and are called according to thy will. Lord, we pray that as we enter into this worship service this morning, we pray, Father, that the words that proceeds from my mouth, the song that we sing, will be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. For Lord, this is our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Prepare our minds and take the Lord's Supper this morning, if you would please. To your hymn book, hymn number 371, 371. This was today, all three verses of this 371.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the fish divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread, precious feast of love, surpassing wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, listen, my man, Maureen, God so loved one just measure, lost and gave the best of him. For God with that matchless treasure, yea, for us his life was given. Precious be all else, surpassing wondrous love for you and me. What we meet, Christ gently whispers, this is my memory, this divine all surpassing precious blood for you and me. What we saw Christ whispers, this is my memory, precious peace, all else surpassing wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, this is my memory.
Now come to the portion of our worship service this morning where we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. We can find some biblical context for the Lord's Supper. One passage of which is from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the Apostle Paul writing there to the church, describing the Lord's Supper as a spiritual feast, a time that we can reflect and remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the two emblems that we have, the bread, which represents his body, and the cup, or the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. Before we offer thanks for the bread, I just wanted to read a couple verses here. This is from Christ's crucifixion. This will be from the Gospel of Luke. I'll start in chapter 22. I'll skip and read a couple of verses, but this one will be starting at 22 and 63. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. I'll skip over now to Luke 23. Luke 23 and verse 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon Cyrenian, who was coming across from the country, and on whom they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And after a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Let me skip down now to verse 32. Then were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the left hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on him. But even the rulers with him sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." I'll skip down to verse 39 here and close. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And we see here, brothers and sisters, even as Christ is being crucified, as he's hanging on the cross, his concern isn't for himself at all, but it's for us. It's for the very people that are crucifying him, that are condemning him. And I think, brothers and sisters, that's the ultimate goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the ultimate goodness of our Father. That as he's being crucified, his concern isn't, it's never been for himself or his safety, but it's for you and me. It's for the very people that were condemning and crucifying him. So let's remember that, brothers and sisters, as we have that opportunity now to partake of the Lord's Supper. We'll give thanks for the bread and partake, and then we'll do so for the cup. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before thy mighty throne, Father. Lord, at this time, we're just so mindful and thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. Thankful for his willingness to come to this earth, Father, to live the life that he did, and ultimately his willingness to go to the cross and be crucified, Father. And Lord, at this time, as we're about to partake of this bread, which represents his body, Father, we pray that you'd help us to clear our hearts and clear our minds, Father. Reflect back on the cross, reflect back on Christ, Father, and that in doing so we might partake of this bread which represents his body, Father, in a way and in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. For we ask this in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Lord, we are so grateful and so humble this morning that this cup brings to our memory the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary. His soul cleansing precious blood that cleans each and every soul from all unrighteousness. We're grateful and thankful and honored to give you all praise, honor, and glory for this cup. We give you praise. We thank you. Amen.
Try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's possible somebody might have been inadvertently missed in the passing of the bread or the cup. So if you were missed in either emblem, if you'd signal to us now by raising your hand, and you'll be served at this time. I don't see any hands, so that concludes the Lord's Supper. And next, we're going to move into another portion, another act of worship on the first day of the week, and that concerns giving. We could find, brothers and sisters, in the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, where giving is established as part of our acts of worship on the first day of the week. But I want to look one book over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and this specifies, brothers and sisters, our mentality and manner that we should have as we really have that opportunity to give back to the Lord. This will come from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll read a couple verses here starting with 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we ought to keep that passage of Scripture in mind, brothers and sisters, as we have that opportunity to give back to the Lord. You know, really just a tiny portion when you think about all that God has blessed us with, just a tiny portion back of all the many, many blessings of life that's been bestowed upon each and every one of us. So let's go to God and give thanks for this opportunity. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we once again bow before thy mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're just ever mindful and thankful for all the many, many blessings of life that you've richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. We know that these things are too numerous for us to even begin counting, Lord, but we know that all these blessings flow from thee. And Father, as we have that chance now as part of our worship on the first day of the week to give back a small portion of what you richly blessed us with, Father, we pray that you'd help us to have the right heart and mindset of being that willing and cheerful giver, Father, and that the contribution that's collected, Father, will help to further the work of the church and broaden the borders of thy kingdom, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Time is filled with swift transition. Lost of heaven, who can stand? Real struggle, hope something eternal, and hope to God's unchanging hand. He's got a holding hand to God's unchanging hand. He got a hold to his hand to God's unchanging hand. Real joy, hope, faith eternal, and hope to God's unchanging hand. We gotta trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever you may bring,
God's unchanging hand, we got a hold.
God's unchanging hand. We got a hope to God's unchanging hand. Build your hope on things eternal and hope to God's unchanging hand.
Morning, church. Today's scripture is Mark 2, verses 1 through 5. And again he entered Capernaum, and after some days, and it was heard he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic, who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now may we be receptacle to our brother here with his words today.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody, and it is a delight to be back with you once again. Certainly, we thank God for blessing us, giving us all the health and the strength to be able to be here today for this service. No, God watched over us as we slept last night, woke us up this morning, and started us on our way. We know it's by God's grace that we are here and that we are even alive. And so we are thankful unto him. Well, to all of our guests, all of our visitors, we say thank you for being here and welcome. Certainly happy that you've come our way, and we hope your visit today is going to be uplifting and rewarding for you. And we want to let you know that if anyone treats you unkindly, or if anyone doesn't treat you right, they are probably visiting too. We're not going to put that on us. We just want you to be here, and we trust and pray that at the conclusion of this message, and if you have any questions about anything that has been said about your salvation, you will let us know. If necessary, we will set up classes with you, because nothing is more important than giving your life over to God before it is everlastingly too late. Today we're going to be looking at a passage from the book of Mark, chapters 2. I believe this passage will help us to grow closer to the cause of Christ as we walk with God. This lesson, as I said, comes from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, our text. The lesson is entitled, Getting to Know Jesus. Getting to Know Jesus. Anybody here been through any problems lately? Anybody facing any roadblocks? Anybody, when you try to move yourself up, there's always somebody there trying to knock you back down? Well, we've all been through some ups and some downs. So this message today will help encourage you. Just hold on. Hold on. And if the road has, our door has been blocked, well, you might want to seek another entrance. You might want to go another way. Because we want you to leave here knowing that with God, all things are possible. We want you to leave here knowing that faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. We want you to leave here knowing that because I have faith in God, I can do the impossible with God. Well, our lesson takes place as we look at Capernaum. It's interesting as we look at this in Mark chapter 2, we see something that is taking place. Jesus is beginning his ministry. He is in the early stages of his ministry. And as he goes about, well, we can see from chapter 1 that he has just been baptized by John, comes up out of the water, he's been tempted. Now he starts his ministry, and he does something fabulous. What a God we serve who does marvelous things in our life. Well, let's look at what he does as he starts his ministry. He begins to heal. We see that over in chapter 1, verse 23, where he heals a man who had a demon in him. He heals this man, and he causes this man to be in his right mind. Well, as he continues on, he comes to Simon Peter's house, and Simon Peter's mother-in-law was sick. So Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Well, that lets me know that Jesus is in the healing business. Folks, it's good news when the healing takes place. It's good news when they saw that Jesus had power over demons. He had power over sickness. I want to let you know today, he has power over our lives as well. If he can speak to the winds and the waves, and they obey him. If he can speak to demons, they obey him. If he can speak to the lame and they get up and walk, then certainly he can speak to our souls today. So then his fame went out all through Galilee and all through Judea. Everywhere that Jesus went, people would just flock in to see him. So we pick up as he nears the end of his Galilean ministry. So as he comes to an end to that segment, we notice that people are just following Jesus everywhere he goes. See, I want to let you know now, there are going to be days when you're going to be up, but you should remember, prepare yourselves for the down days because they might be just around the corner. You could be up today and down tomorrow. That's why our parents used to tell us, remember, be careful how you treat people on your way up, because those are the same folk you're going to run into on your way back down. See, these same folk who were praising Jesus and following Jesus, I want to let you know that several chapters over, these are the same people who are going to be screaming, crucify him, crucify him. All right. When we look at Mark chapter 2, and the verses 1. Scripture says, and again he entered into Capernaum. After some days it was noised that he was in the house. So in other words, when they heard that Jesus was in this house, it is assumed that this is Simon Peter's house that Jesus was in. When they heard Jesus was in that house, people started coming from everywhere. You know, when we look around our society today, folk know that Jesus is here. This place ought to be running over, crowded at the doors. Matthew 18:20 tells us, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so, when we got up this morning, we should have been excited. We should have been excited because we know we're going to the Lord's house. All who are saints of God. Well, they go on to say, getting into this house in verse number 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. Even the doors were jammed, packed, because they wanted to get a touch from Jesus. But you know something? Everybody who comes to the house of worship is not always excited. You know, just because you are here doesn't mean you want to be here. You might not be in the right frame of mind. Some people might be here because somebody made them come, right? Heard a story about the young man when he was growing up. He said his parents used to drag him to Sunday school, drag him to church, drag him on Wednesday night. He got used to being drugged, you know. But you know what? He is so glad and thankful that they did, because in the process of all of that, he gained a greater appreciation for Jesus. Now that very young man is the preacher at his church. That's a fact. So, young people, you got to be excited about serving God. I mean excited. You know how you feel when you're going to a friend's house for a party? You know that excitement that you have? Can't wait for that day to start. When you get to the party, it's so crowded, you got to squeeze in there just to be there, but you're happy. Hot in there, everybody is sweating and everything, but you're just glad to be with the in crowd. So it doesn't matter. We got to find that excitement. You got to be excited when you come into the house of the Lord, because we recognize what God has done for us. So when they got in there, people were all packed in that house. You know, what's interesting about this is a lot of them didn't come to hear Jesus. They came to see what Jesus could do for them. Well, folk, they said that he was there for a healing. And we're going to see that in a little while. But folk, don't come just because you are made to come. When you hear, get something out of it. So look what happens in verse 2. At the end of verse 2, it says, they came and he preached the word unto them. So there's power in the word. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to preach the word. We can't preach politics. We can't preach what happened the other day. We got to stay in the word of God. I tell the fellows who preach that stay with the word of God. You know, you cannot use the pulpit as a weapon. Get back at somebody you're having a problem with. That's not what it's for. You got to talk about Jesus. We don't need to talk about that other person, not from the pulpit. Amen. We got to stay in the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses 4, when he says something about preaching the Word, look at what Paul says to Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, preach the word. He didn't say, preach what you want to preach. He didn't say, get even with your enemies. He didn't say that. He said, preach the word. I want you to be instant in season. All right, we're going to talk about that. In other words, you got to be ready. You got to be ready at all time. It doesn't take long. Now, instant, in this context, it simply means we need to be ready to preach the word. We've got to be ready to preach the word and tell everyone what God has done for us. So he tells them to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. In other words, preach the word when people like it. Preach the word when they don't like it. Preach the word when they don't even like you. Still got to preach the word. We got to reprove, rebuke, correct. We got to instruct. We got to exhort with what? With all long suffering and doctrine, which means we got to suffer a long time. Got to be able to work with an individual. And that's what it's all about. Working with people, pulling together is what it's all about. Well, now, on to chapter 1 in John. It talks about the Word here. Here the Word is talking about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. It's showing the deity of God. It's showing the deity of the Son in the beginning. Jesus was in the beginning with God. When he said in the beginning, let us make man, he was speaking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. 1 John tells us these three are one. They are deity. All right, let's drop down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word stepped out on the scene. And when Jesus was talking to them about the Word, he was talking to them about himself. Let me share something with you. When we look at miracles, Jesus performed miracles. Now, miracles were something that would happen that was out of the ordinary. It just defied nature. Yeah. Let me give you an example. When Jesus walked on water, anybody out here can walk on water? I didn't think so. It justifies nature. Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, and they obeyed. Anybody here been in a storm lately? You spoke to the wind and anything happened? Uh-huh. He justified nature. When Jesus started to heal, and he healed that man who was possessed with a demon, it was immediate. It was an immediate change. It didn't take a long time. When Jesus told that blind man to open up his eyes, it wasn't a gradual thing. It was instantly. When he told the lame to get up and walk, when he healed somebody from leprosy, it was not over a long, gradual period. It was done immediately. You know what? We've got a lot of people even now talking about they can heal people. Well, I like to see them go and heal the blind that can do it. You know, Jesus raised the dead. I like to see somebody out there at United Memorial or one of the other cemeteries getting people up. If you can do it, do it. That's what I say. They always tell you, you will be healed. Just continue to send in your pledge, and things are going to change for you. Don't fall for it. If you are suffering for something, and God is going to take care of you, so put your trust in God. Pray to God. Don't just pray. Pray to God. Sometimes when you're suffering from things and you pray to God, if God doesn't heal you, he will give you grace to carry on. So, I want us to see that he preached the word unto them. If it is God's will, you will be healed. Remember Job? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Powerful words. Regardless of what comes your way in life, disappointments, sickness, we got to still continue to trust in God. I'm going to go back to my text now, in Mark. He said, I want you to see something. He preached unto them the word, and it said that they came unto him bringing one who was sick of palsy. Now, this was a paralyzed individual. You have to realize that back in those days, it was a situation that if you were diseased, it was assumed that somebody had sinned, which caused this to happen to you. You remember the man who was born blind? The disciples went to Jesus and said, who did sin, this man or his parents? Jesus said, neither sin, only that the work of God might be manifested. So, here was a man who was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. Somebody had to take him everywhere he went. I don't know if he was paralyzed just in the neck or all the way down, but he couldn't get around for himself. They came to him bringing one sick of palsy, which means there were four people, four individuals had to bring this sick man to where Jesus was. He couldn't help himself. So what does that tell us today? That tells us that we as members of the body of Christ, we ought to be out there winning souls to the Lord, helping people when and wherever we can. Bible says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. Four men had to bring this individual to where Jesus was. And when they got there, the door was blocked. Couldn't get in. Too many people inside. Now they had heard about the healing that's going on inside of this house, and they may have gotten together and said, come in, Bob, you and Jim, if we can get our friend over there to that house and get him in there, he can be healed. So what did they do? They had to carry their friend. They found a stretcher of some type and took him all the way to Capernaum. The Bible says when they got there, couldn't get in. It was just too crowded. Now, if that had been some of us, we got there and saw that crowd there, we may have seen the cars in the parking lot and said, oh, let's go back home. Just too many people, right? I'll tell you what they did. They said that if the door is blocked, we're going to make a new entrance. But it was more impressive on those four individuals than it was on the man that was on the stretcher. Why? Because those four men could have just said, let's just go back home. We can't get in there. They said, we've been carrying our friend all these years. One more time won't hurt. But when you have faith in God, when folk put stumbling blocks in your way, you won't stop. You won't stop. When Satan tries to get in you on Sunday morning and say, well, you know, it's kind of rainy outside today. Well, why don't you just stay home and rest? They're not going to miss you. Your faith in God has got to get you up and say, I'm going on anyhow. There are days when you don't even want to move in the morning. Don't even feel like getting up. But that faith in God, that makes you want to get up and go on regardless of how difficult the moment might be. So when these four individuals realized they couldn't get through the door, they said a powerful thing. They said, we're going on the rooftop. Now, what made them want to go on the rooftop? They knew they had to do something because the Lord was on the inside of this house and they've got to get this man inside to see Jesus. Well, they found another solution. They said, we're going on the rooftop. What's so amazing about this, as I looked through all of these scriptures, I couldn't find anywhere where they had a ladder laying around or anything. It didn't say anything about that. And I'm sorry it didn't tell me a little more, because I'd like to know, how did you get a man up to the rooftop carrying somebody on a stretcher? Well, it didn't say it. But one thing we do know, they had to work together. Because if one of them had said, hey, I'm not going up there on that, I could fall. Well, then another one would have said, well, if he doesn't go, I'm not going either. Then it would have been difficult. But took all four of them working together to get up on that rooftop. And when they got up on the rooftop, they got so bold. They said, tear the roof off. Oh, y'all don't hear me, do you? They said, tear the roof off. We got to get this man inside to see Jesus. Because they recognized Jesus could heal a man who was possessed with a demon. If he could heal the sick, if he could raise the dead. You see, if we can just get our friend in there, he can heal our friend, right? Tell you, know, there comes a time in your life when you just got to start tearing the roof off. problems get in your life, just tell them, we're going to tear the roof off. Folk on your job, you know, getting on your nerve, getting on your last nerve, as a matter of fact. Tell them, I'll tear the roof off. Children won't act right. Just tell them. Because I recognize that if I can just get to Jesus, everything will be all right. I can imagine now, Jesus is in there preaching the word. All these people gathered around listening to Jesus. Jesus could have been in there talking about, I am the way, I am the truth. I'm not sure what his sermon was, but all of a sudden, you know, something started dribbling down on him as he was preaching. And I can imagine Jesus was in the middle of his sermon. He just stopped and started looking around as if to say, what in the world is going on? But somebody wanted to get to Jesus. So if you're trying to get to Jesus, you won't stop. You won't let anybody stop you. When you're trying to get to Jesus, enemies may jump out in your way. Obstacles may just pop up from nowhere. But you just start tearing the roof off. And I guarantee you, when you get far enough down, you're going to see Jesus. Amen. Now, it had to be an impressive thing. Jesus stops in the middle of his sermon. But you know, these four men who were there with their friend, they may have been disappointed somewhat, because the first thing Jesus said to their friend, he turned around and said, your sins are forgiven. Now, the four men could have been thinking, we brought our friend here to be healed, and he got forgiveness of sin. You know, they probably felt like, that's not why we came. You know, we came to get him healed. But you know what? There might be a lot of people who come to the Lord's house looking for one thing, but the Lord's got something else for you. Jesus has got something else he wants to tell you. This man received forgiveness of his sins. The Bible tells us all of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. You know, the greatest thing sometimes, you may be lame. You might have a disease. You may be crippled. But something that is more important than your healing is the forgiveness of your sins. It's not about how we look on the physical outside. It's about how our relationship is with God. So they missed the point. Not only did they miss the point, but the Bible talks about some of the people who were there, the scribes and those who were with him. They missed the point as well, because when Jesus told this man his sins were forgiven, they thought, who is able to forgive sins? This man is trying to take the place of Jesus. But Jesus knows what he can do. Amen. So if you want to start experiencing forgiveness today, all you got to do is start tearing the roof off. Don't let folk get in your way. Don't be afraid to step out in this aisle. If you want to come down and give your life to Christ, you need to come to him before it's everlastingly too late. Shouldn't stop. Today is the day of salvation. And when Jesus told this man his sins are forgiven, after he talked to those scribes and got those people in line, he turned right around to the man who was on the stretcher and said, get up. And start walking. Oh, I know. There had to be some shouting going on that day, right? He's powerful. Will you recognize what God has done for you? Has he done anything for you? Have you ever been on your sick bed, bed of affliction, and you didn't think you were going to make it? God stepped in and you were well. Have you ever been down to your last? You didn't know how you were going to make it. God came through again. Made a way out of no way. God can do it because you have faith in God. You say, I'm going to hold on. And I know in a little while, God is going to make a way out of no way. Getting to know Jesus in spite of trials and troubles that pop up in your way. Well, this morning you've heard his word. I hope you will believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God. Accept Him in baptism. Live a life for Christ. And those who are already members, straight away. Been unfaithful. You need to come back. You need to be restored to the body. You need to be restored to the body today. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice for Jesus while together we stand and sing.
Jesus from